Shavuot Tov, world, and today's daf in Masechet Chulin is daf Lamed, and we are right in the middle of this very important machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and between Levi Saba, as to whether yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'yatzof, or eina l'shchita ela l'besof. So, we've gone through a number of different questions on Rabbi Yochanan and on Levi Saba. And now we're going to take a look at a new question that we have against Levi Saba, which is that Eina L'shchita Ela L'besof. So we're at Mosif Ravidi Bar Ovi. Mosif Ravidi Bar Ovi. Ubemoed Lishmo Patur. So let's get a little background on what the question is over here. Remember that if you shecht a Korban Pesach at the time in which it's supposed to be a Korban Pesach. So then, if you shecht it as a Pesach, it's kosher, and if you shecht it shelo lishma, as we learned in the beginning of Chulin, the very first Mishnah, a Pesach shelo lishma is pasul. But on the other hand, if you shecht it not at the time in which it's supposed to be shechted, meaning not in the afternoon of Yudalat Benisan, then if it is shechted as a Pesach, then it is possible. But if it's shechted as a shlamim, then it is kosher. And that we learned out from the pasuk. Remember, Boker Vitzon, that means if a Pesach is shechted at a different time, it should be kosher as a shlamim, which is brought from Boker Vitzon. Fine. Now, there's another issue that this will be very nagia, and that is the question of whether there was chometz in Yerushus at the time of the Shechita. So remember that there's an iser d'oraisa, there's a lav, that you lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi, you cannot shecht at the time of where chometz is usher, you cannot shecht. Turns out, the Gemara learned out that this is for any korban that's kosher. You cannot shecht any korban that's kosher if you're going to have chometz in your rishus during the time that chometz is usher. Right? This is the sheet of our Mishnah that we're recording right now. And therefore, if the korban is a kosher korban, you will be over on a lav d'oraisa b'chayev. And it says in the Mishnah Gufa, in Psachim, Maser Vidi Baravim, look at this Mishnah. Ubamoed, if you shechted a Korban Pesach during Yontif, and you shechted it as a Korban Pesach while you had chometz in your rishos, so then you're not chayev. Why? Because it's no longer a kosher Korban Pesach. If you shechted as a Pesach after your Dalid, it's now meant to be a shlomi, but you shechted it bishmo. But if you shechted it shelo lishmo, then you would be chayev. Why? Because then it is a kosher korban, because it becomes a shlomim, and a Pesach shelo lishmo is kosher shelo bizbano, if it is a shlomim, and therefore if you have chometz, you would be chayev. So now we asked on that Mishnah, Vavinoba. The Mishnah is saying that the reason that you're chayev is because you did it bedavka shelo lishmo. What if you didn't do it bedavka shelo lishmo? What if you did it just stoma? If you did it just stoma, mashma, you would be putter. Why would you be putter? Must be because, even though you were shechting a korban pesach shelo lishma, you didn't say so, and you shechted it stam. That means a pesach remains a pesach until you say, I don't want this to be a pesach anymore. I want this to be a shlomi. So if you shechted it stam, it would remain a korban pesach. So we asked over there, why is this potter? Let's see it inside. Isn't the Pesach B'Shah Yimot HaShana, isn't it automatically a Shlomim? And therefore, you should be over on the Iser of Chometz in your Yerushus, because that refers to any Korban, Lo Tishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi, any Zevach, we learn out, according to the Stana. So from here, we see a very important halacha. Shma Mina, Pesach B'Shah Yimot HaShana B'Yakira. See from here? You need to beferish, rip it out of its previous status and say, I don't want this as Korban Pesach. I am shechting this as a Korban Shlomi. Now, this is all part of our lead up to our question. Now, the question is like this. Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda said, you cannot bring a raya from there that a Pesach needs Akira. Because when we were learning in the Chabura, Nizraka mipichabura, the way it came out, it emerged from our discussions in our chabura, that actually the whole issue over here is talking about a special case. And hachaber mayaskinan, kagon shayu ba'alim tmei meitim, here it's talking about that the owners were tmei meitim, a further raya that you should be living where the kriyas hatera was ba'alotecha, as we said. And so it's talking about where they were tmei meitim at Pesach Rishai, and they are nidachim le Pesach Sheni. So what happens in that case? The Korban Pesach that you had set aside for Pesach Rishon is now meant to be brought on Pesach Sheni. So that is a special case, because this Korban Pesach is still a Korban Pesach that is ready to be brought. So if it would have been really a normal guy who would have been bringing a different Pesach on the Pesach Rishon, and this Pesach, let's say, was lost at that time, he brought a different Pesach, now he's got this Pesach, and he brings it during Yom Tov as a carbon, you would not need Akira. And it's wrong to conclude that you need Akira. Why? Because it's automatically going to be a Shlamim, but only in this specific case, because this particular carbon was meant for Pesach Sheni, then you need Akira. So how you debay Akira? Only this case needs Akira, but a normal carbon would not require Akira if it was no longer suitable for a carbon Pesach, and it's automatically a Shlamim without your saying, I don't want this to be a carbon Pesach anymore. Now, what does this have to do with our question? Very cute. I'll tell you how it applies to our issue. Because if you hold, like Levi Saba, so then, look, if you're going to tell me like Reb Yochanan, so then this makes sense, you know? Because as soon as you started shechting it, you already were shechting it at the beginning of the Shechita, you were already shechting it as a real Shechita of a Korban Pesach, and it was meant to be a Pesach Sheni, and therefore it's not kosher now, it's not automatically a Shlamim, and therefore you would be potter because you didn't shech the kosher Korban. But if you hold like Levi Saba, and you hold that Ein Lo Shechita Al Besof, so think about the situation over here. The guy starts shechting this Korban, but that wasn't a Maisa Shechita, that was B'chayavim, because of Lotishkat al-Chametz Tam Zivchi, right? So the moment that he starts shechting it, and now it's bleeding to death, and he's not going to be able to keep it to Pesach Sheni, is he? So it's now a Pesach Shelo Bizmano. Idach Kochi Shachi. So now when he finishes up that Shechita, it's already a Shlomim, because at that, and that's the moment that it was a Shechita. So he was over on the Sishkat al-Chametz Dam Zivchi, because it was a Shlomim, and it was a kosher Shlomim, because a Pesach becomes a Shlomim, Shlo Bizmano. So you see, it must be that the reason that you'd be potter is because right away when you started shechting it, you were shechting it as a carbon for Pesach Sheni, and therefore it wasn't a kosher carbon. So you see, it's like Reb Yochanan, not like Levi Saba. Amalei Abaye, wait a second. But isn't it still meant to be his carbon for Pesach Sheni? What do you mean? But it's going to be dead. I understand it's going to be dead. So bipoda it before it dies. Then the money that you get for it will be money that is meant for Pesach Sheni. But why would you want it to become a Shlamim? It's still made to be a Pesach, albeit not in its actual body, but in the value for its body. So Amalei Abaye did itchele mit Pesach, but it wasn't itchele mit me Pesach, and therefore it's still suitable for us to sell it and to use the money for Pesach Sheni. And therefore, it wouldn't have become automatically a Shlamim just because you cut its throat. I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, well, it's too late. You cannot be poda a carbon Pesach once you store any carbon, once you started shechting it, because it needs hamad of aharacha, remember? We learn out that you need to be vehemid otalifnei hakohen, ve'erichoto hakohen. How are you going to stand up this shechted animal in order to have hamad of aharacha? And without hamad of aharacha, you cannot be poda it. So you'll tell me, oh, so even its money is useless. Not true. Because, after all, we have a Mishnah that says, we don't really, but Tosfos says it's implied by a Mishnah later, but we'll see when we get there. Let's pretend. We have a Mishnah that says, Shochat bo shnayim or rov shnayim, if you already shechted both the kana and the veshet, or most of the kana and the veshet, it doesn't mean the animal's dead. Adayani mifarcheset, if it's still actually convulsing, then even though you say, you can't really stand it up, hamadav aracha doesn't mean literally you have to be able to stand it up. It's considered to be live, and therefore you would be able to do hamadav aracha on it. You could be poda it, and therefore it's still a made for dmei pesach sheni. Okay, that ends that question. Now let's come to another issue. Can you make a shechita by cutting in different places? So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Hashochet b'shnayim u'shlosha mekomot, shechitato kishira. So there's a number of different approaches among the Rishonim of what this is talking about, but the Pashas is the way that Rashi seems to be learning, is that as long as you shechted rov of the kana and rov of the veshet, it doesn't all have to be in one place. If the total area that was cut, and each one of these is the rov, and each both the kana and the veshet, so then you have a kosher shechita. But then, when Rav was nifter and Rav Yehuda went to learn by Shmuel, I said this over to Shmuel. I said what I learned from Rav, and he said to me, "No, that is not a kosher shechita. Be'inon shechita meforat v'leka. We need to have a shechita that can open up entirely, and that would be all in one place. If it's not all in one place, then it is not going to be able to pull apart like this. So therefore, it's not kosher, not because it's not considered to be rov, but because this is not really a shechita meforat. Okay, there's again, here too, there's a number of different approaches. If the problem is shechita meforat, that it needs to be all in one place in order to be open, or shechita meforat means merely that if you take off the pressure that is going to pull the beis hashechita open by putting a little cut in one place and a little cut in the other place, which, as you know, when you've got one pipe and you cut a bit in one place, then it's no longer going to be under pressure in the other place. It's not going to pull apart. We saw before that the beis hashechita is actually mirvach ravach. But if you release the pressure by making small cuts elsewhere, it won't be mirvach ravach. It's another interpretation of the Mishnah, of the Shadow of Yom, the Gemara, Aliba de Shmuel. So there may be other reasons why he's saying you need shechita beforat. And the truth is that we find that Reish Lakish seems to also agree that you need a shechita beforat, because he brings it from a pasuk. The Omer of Shimon ben Lakish, minayim l'shechita shebeforat. How do you know that you need to be able to have a base of shechita that's wide open? Shenemar chetz shachut lishonam, mirma diber. We're going to see that that pasuk is very important to us, and it comes up several times. And basically, the lashon of shechita, if we talk about a chetz shachut, if you got it, this is talking about ba'alei lashon hara, and it says that their tongue, the shonam, that speaks mirma all the time, ba'alei lashon hara, is like an arrow that is pulled back, a sharp arrow that is pulled back and is going to be released. So therefore, an arrow doesn't cut in several places. It's meforat. And if that's the case, then apparently it needs to be very, very clear. Masiv Rabbi Elazar, how can Shmuel say, asks Rabbi Elazar, that you need to have a shechita that is beforat, all in one place? It's a beferish Mishnah that's coming up, and it says, Shnayim ochazim besakin v'shochatim, two people can hold a knife and shecht, even if one guy is shechting on top and one guy is shechting lower. Now, this seems to mean that you've got two guys, each one holding a different knife, One is shechting on one place on the neck, one is shechting lower in the neck, and nonetheless it says shechita is kosher. But according to what you just said, amai, v'alek ha-shechita meforad. Doesn't Shmuel and Rish Lakish say they have to cut all in one place so that it should be a very clear opening? Amar le Rabbi Yirmiyah, no. The Mishnah might be talking about two people holding one knife at an angle. So one of them is closer to the bottom, and one of them is closer to the top, or somewhere one of them is holding at the handle, or one of them is holding the actual blade, so he's holding on top. And that's what it means, echad lamala v'echad lamata, but it doesn't mean that there's two different knives at different places on the neck. That would be the way that Shmuel would have to learn it. Omerle Rabbi Abba, does that make sense? If your pshat is right, that it's a single knife, so then how do you explain the fact that when this was said over in the Braita expands it by saying, Ein choshishin shema yitrafu ze al ze. We're not afraid that the two of them are going to end up making a trefa. Why would that be? Because each one of them will rely on the other ones doing the rov of the shechita, and it'll turn out that it wasn't done. Now, if you're talking about shtei sakinim, which is the way we thought originally, you're talking about two different knives, and two different people are holding knives in different places, then it makes sense to say that. That, look, you don't have to worry that they'll rely on each other. Because I might have thought, maybe each one will rely on the other one to do most of the shechita, and therefore he thinks that it's okay, but it won't be. And in the end, neither of them will do rov. Hailo atil mevad ruba, hailo atil mevad ruba. So then it would pass the shechita, and therefore comes along the Tana to say, don't worry about that. That's what the Braita is addressing. But if you're going to tell me, we're talking about one knife, what is that supposed to mean? We're not choshish that they're going to be, one will trade it up for the other one. That's not the issue. There is an issue, but what is the issue? The issue is if you've got two people that are pressing down on the same knife and they're supposed to be moving, what if they move in different directions? What if one of them starts pulling in one direction, the other one starts pulling in the other direction, and they're still both pressing down, and guess what's going to happen? Drisa. And that passes the shechita. So that's what it should say. Ein choshishin shema yidrasu. Why does it say shema yidrafu? Shema yidrafu means relying on each other. So if you're going to tell me the way that you tried to answer Shmuel and Rish Lakish, and it's talking about one knife and two people, well, why does it say that? Hi, Ein, is this what you should say? Quote, Ein choshishim shema yidrafu zelze, unquote. What should you have said? Shema yidrasu zelze miboyle. That together they're going to end up pressing the knife down because the back and forth movement is going to be canceled. One is going to cancel the other, and you're going to end up with a drusa. That's what it should say. You're right. It should say that, and you know what? Change the braita to read that way. I mean, you know, until you get into it, to the extent that we're getting into it, nobody even thinks about a difference between Yidrusu and Yidrafu. It's only now that we've pulled it apart like this, so maybe that was the correct way that it was originally said, and it wasn't kept clear because who knows? So today, read Ein Choshishin Shema Yidrusu Zelze Ein Achinami. Okay, I got another problem with Shmuel. Motiv Rebavi. Shachat atav veshet lamata. Let's say you cut the veshet close to the bottom, close to the chazeh. And the kana, you shecht it close to the mouth, lamala. Or vice versa, that doesn't really matter. Veshet, lamala, the kana, lamata. The point is that they weren't in the same place. So, what is it saying, shechita tok sheira? Isn't that the whole point? Shechita tok sheira, why? According to Shmuel, it's not a shechita meforat, because it's in two completely different places. So isn't that what it's good for coming to tell me, that you do not need a problem, and you can check it in two different places? No, not necessarily. Hu motiv lo hu mefarek lo. Rav Avin himself realizes a simple answer to this. It could be talking about a shechita that's on an angle, and it's like you were writing with a pen, kakumus. So the shechita is meforat, it's just not meforat up and down. The head is going to fall off to one side. because you're cutting it at an angle. So the part that hit the kana is in one place, and the part that hit the veshet is in another place, but it's all one incision. And therefore, it has nothing to do with mefurat or not. So this doesn't prove anything. Okay, there was an actual maisa. Maisa was that there was a shor that the sheikhet had cut the shechita in two or three different places, and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta came to a butcher shop, and he bought some of the best cuts of that animal, just to make it clear that there is no problem of a shechita that's in different places. Omar le Rabbi Zera, well, you just taught us a very important lesson. We got a ton of Rabbeinu, that the way to understand that Mishnah that we've been talking about, two people that are shechtim in two different places, that is really talking about what we thought originally. Two different knives, two different people, two different places. It's not a shechita mefurat, and afal pikin, it is kosher. And we were right the first time around, and you're telling us not to worry about the psak of Shmuel and Rish Lakish. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav. Another issue that Rav said that had to do with chalada. So, hechalid et asakin. So, basically, if this really is a non sequitur, the only reason that it's brought over here is because since Rav just passed that you don't need a mefurat, that doesn't mean that there isn't going to be a problem with a chalada that you would think, well, maybe that is considered to be a kosher shechita the way we're about to describe it, because Rav, after all, is mekel on mefurat. No, so we bring it over here. This is how Tosus explains the non sequitur. We're bringing over here a din of chalada just to make it clear that there is no relationship between mefurat and this case. See, here's the case. Hechalid et asakin, bein siman lesiman, upisako, psula. So if, basically, you did a proper shechita, but then you put the sakin between the kana and the veshet, and you cut the second, whatever you were cutting second, you cut the second siman correctly, but you had the knife underneath the first whatever it was that you had shechted, it's going to be puzzle. Because even though you'd think, I mean, what's the problem? Just that it's not a shechita mefurat? No. The problem over here, that if you put your sakin underneath the siman and shech the other siman, that is the classic example of chalada. And therefore it would be puzzle. But that does not mean that, let's say, you stuck the knife in from the side of the neck, and it went under the skin. So now you were machalid the sakin tachas ha'or, and then you did the shechita on both the kana and the veshet, then it would be kosher, because that's not called chalada. Chalada is only when it's between the two simanim themselves. I don't understand. What's he teaching us over here? That's the Beferish Mishnah later on. It says Beferish, if you did a proper shechita on, let's say, the kana, and then you went ahead and you hid the sakin underneath, and you cut the next one, the second one. Fine. Which is, it's very, very reasonable that such a thing would happen, you know? Because you go ahead, you shecht the first siman, and then when you're pulling the knife back, what happens if it got stuck between the second siman as you were about to pull it back? And it would be very often that such a thing could happen. This is coming to tell me that if you were machli de saki, tachas hasheni, and it got between that sheni and the bone of the neck, then it would be, if you were posik it, and you were posik it, that means that you were pulling towards yourself. So you were posik it from the bottom up. What's the din? So Rabbi Yeshevav says the din is that that's an avela. Because a pigam in the shechita is not a treifa, a pagam and a shechita means there was no shechita. You have a dead animal with no shechita, it's an avela. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, actually, it's the same as shechting a treifa in this case. And therefore, Lamaisa, this is not true, as we're going to see in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Akiva does really not hold this. In the end, he's Maida. But right now, we're not interested here in that issue. All that we need to know is why Rav, everybody is Maida, that it's certainly possible. Why did Rav need to tell us a Beferish Mishnah? That's our kasha. Says the Gemara, it's no comparison. Because that Mishnah says that it was Pesako, meaning that it went beneath the second simen, and then he pulled up on the second simen. So what direction did he shecht from? From the back to the top. He was going from the bottom to the top, right? So Havamina, that's why it was Pesako. Because Havamina hanimile minamata lamala. Because he wasn't shechting normally, he was shechting backwards. Deloka avikidera shechita. But maybe inachinami, if the sacking had gotten between the two simonim, and now he was cutting milamala lamata, so then that would be kosher, because that was a normal shechita. Deko avikidera shechita. Ema shapirdom. You see how much this resembles the question of shechita meforat. And that's why we needed to bring it in here, says Tosis. Because if the issue over here is that it was in a different place, it sounds like what it boils down to. You already shechted the first simon, and now you've got the knife between the two simonim. So the point is that the knife is hidden between the two simonim, which creates a new problem of chalota. Not that it's in two places, that isn't the issue. So in order to distinguish between these two cases, and to make certain that you don't confuse dinim of shechita meforat with the deeper issue of the concept of chalada, Rav wanted to make sure that you understand that. Kamash malan, that chalada is chalada without worrying about whether it's kederach shechita or shalo kederach shechita. Now, something that interests me was that Rav said beferish that if the knife was stuck under the skin, so we understand what's going on over here. The shechet sticks the knife in carefully between the skin and the simonim. So now when he's moving the knife across the simonim, the knife is not visible. So that, you would think, is chalada. And Rav, according to Rav Yehuda, Zomer Rav Yehuda Rav, he said it's kosher. But actually, the Talmidim in the Beis HaMedrash said, no, that's not what he said. He said, eni yodea. I have a suffix, tachata or any yodei. I didn't say it's vada kosher. So let me ask you something. So according to them, that Rav said he's not sure. The Beirav di Amre, tachata or any yodei. So what would be if you had a matlit? So let's say you had a bandage around the animal's neck. Maybe it had gotten cut before, whatever. And there was a bandage around the neck, right? Some type of cloth around the neck. And you put the knife underneath that bandage. Would he worry about that also? Or is he only worried about the suffix because the or is part of the animal and it's usually there? And therefore he understood that chalada may very well be nogea, a case where it's tachas or. But would he have gone so far as to say that even if it's tachat amatlit, what would be the din over there? By the way, there's a machlokas over here about whether it needs to be mechuber to the neck, which is what Rashi learns, or it means it's just covering the neck and the knife is behind it, like the Rambam learns. So that's a machlokas, how far the question goes over here. Lamaisa, halacha lamaisa, we're makbid on all of these cases, and we're very, very makbid on the possibility that it's called chalada. Tachas tzemer misug bachmal. What about you're shechting this goat, and it's got a lot of hair that is all matted around the neck. So you stick the knife between the matted hair and the neck. Is that considered also to be part of Rav Suffolk? Aliba the taminim de Beirav? Teku. So all of these things, Lamaisa, were left, and therefore we end up being machmer, we pass over the shechita. Boy, Rav Papa. Here is just a throwaway line, which ends up being one of the most significant lines in the entire Masechet. It's just absolutely amazing. It's like frozen away. Hichlid, what would be the din if you do your chalada b'mi'ut simanim? What would be the din there? So now over here, you've basically, you finished already rov. Now, there's a little bit left, a mi'ut, but you don't have to cut. So if you decide you don't want to do anything else, you put your knife down and the shlita is over. But you decide you want to do the whole thing, but you do the last part wrong and you do a chalada in the last part. So if it's all one ma'isa of shchita, do we say that the ma'isa of shchita extends all the way till the end, even though it really shouldn't matter what happens after you do the rov? Or do we say once you did the rov, the rest of it makes absolutely no difference? This is the way that Rashi understands the question, which creates all types of issues as to whether the same problem is true when we're talking not only about chalada, but we're talking about drisa, and so which creates terrible problems, because then the question is, okay, at what point is it not considered to be a continuation? So if a guy does rove of the simanim, and then he starts butchering the animal, is he still doing the shchita when he cuts the rest of the simanim? Anyway, again, this gives rise to a lot of very big chumras, and we leave this open. Teiku, and we're very, very machmer on all of this. And the way Rashi learns it is that it's going to affect bichlal, not only the question of chalada, but all of the different issues, which causes a great deal of chumras, especially for Ashkenazim. Anyway, teiku.